Take a Walk on the Wild Side, Part 5. Ezekiel meets Lazarus. Our Old Testament reading. God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain, strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Master God, only you know that." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones. Dry bones, listen to the message of God." God, the Master, told the dry bones, "Watch this, I'm bringing breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God." I prophesied just as I'd been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound, and oh, the rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Tell the breath, O God, the Master says, come from the four winds. Come, breath. Breathe on these slain bodies. Breathe life." So I prophesied just as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came alive. They stood up on their feet, a huge army, and started singing. Ezekiel connected them, dry bones. Ezekiel connected them, dry bones. Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. Oh, okay. That last part was added a couple thousand years later, including a simplified anatomy lesson. But on to our next scripture from the Gospel of John. There was a certain man who was very ill. He was known as Lazarus from Bethany, which is the hometown of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary did a beautiful thing for Jesus. She anointed the Lord with a pleasant-smelling oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus became deathly ill. So the sisters immediately sent a message to Jesus which said, "Lord, the one you love is very ill." And Jesus heard the message and said, "His sickness will not end in his death, but will bring great glory to God. As these events unfold, the Son of God will be exalted." Jesus dearly loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. However, after receiving this news, he waited 2 more days where he was. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is time to return to Judea." As Jesus was approaching Bethany, which is about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, he heard that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Now many people had come to comfort Mary and Martha as they mourned the loss of their brother. Martha went to meet Jesus when word arrived that he was approaching Bethany, but Mary stayed behind at the house. Martha said, "Lord, if you had been with us, my brother would not have died. Even so, I still believe that anything you ask of God will be done." After this, Martha ran home to Mary. Martha said to Mary, "Come with me. The teacher is here, and he has asked for you." Mary did not waste a minute. She got up and went to the same spot where Martha had found Jesus outside the village. The people gathered in her home, offering support and comfort, assumed she was going back to the tomb to cry and mourn, so they followed her. Mary approached Jesus, saw him, and fell at his feet. "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would still be alive." When Jesus saw Mary's profound grief and the moaning and weeping of her companions, he was deeply moved by their pain in his spirit and was intensely troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid his body?" The people said, "Come and see, Lord." As they walked, Jesus wept. And everyone noticed how much Jesus must have loved Lazarus. Then Jesus approached the tomb, a small cave covered by a massive stone. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha said, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The stench will be unbearable." Jesus said, "Remember, I told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God." So they removed the stone, and Jesus lifted his eyes towards the heaven, saying, "Father, I am grateful that you have heard me. I know that you are always listening, but I proclaim it loudly so that everyone here will believe you have sent me." And after these words, he called out in a thunderous voice, "Lazarus, come out." Then the man who was dead walked out of his tomb, bound from head to toe in a burial shroud. So what next? Well, imagine, if you will, Ezekiel and Lazarus walk into a bar, and Ezekiel says, "Bartender, we're parched, need 2 martinis, bone dry." Okay, I know, bar jokes are not typical openers for sermons, but that just popped into my head after reading these two stories back to back. I couldn't help but think about getting these two guys together, you know, having Ezekiel meet Lazarus and then going out for a drink, be it gin or ginger ale, just telling their tales. These are two impressive fellas found in our book, Divine. And whether you think Ezekiel's story is a crazy dream or a prophetic vision, or whether you believe Lazarus was just deathly ill in need of a salt cave session, it can't be denied that they both have experienced two things, incredible challenges and incredible awakenings. First, the incredible challenges to their emotional and physical health. Ezekiel had been educated and trained to be a priest in the kingdom of Judah, but his hopes and dreams were dashed by King Nebuchadnezzar's invasion, which took him and other young Jews captive to Babylon. And Lazarus, well, best bud to God's son, he experienced an exile of his own. You know, he died. But both also experienced incredible awakenings to God's very real transformational presence in their own personal wilderness. Wilderness, our Lenten discussion regarding such a journey began with Jesus facing his own challenges. But it is important to know that Jesus, too, did some soul-searching, self-reflection, and shadow dancing, because he was indeed fully human. It wasn't a cakewalk for him. He walked in the valleys, even before the valley of the shadow of death he faced in his last days. Jesus did this along with all the other biblical greats. No one is exempt from the ups and downs of being human. Shoot, if we were to take old Stinky Laz and Dusty Zeke, we'd have our own stories to share about feeling used up, hopeless, tired, and just ready to lay down in a valley and dry up. Wake me up when this is all over, we'll say, or don't wake me up at all kind of days. No one is exempt from poo-moji moments. As Scott Peck reminds us as he began his book, The Road Less Traveled, life is difficult. This is a great truth, one of the greatest truths. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult, because once it is accepted, the fact that life is difficult no longer matters. So, to those who have been sold a bill of goods that bad things only happen to bad people, that Old Testament leftover, know in good time that they'll be struggling and asking, why me, God? What did I do to deserve this? Well, here's the answer. You are human and mortal, and when laws of nature, poor decisions made not only by you but by the guy down the street, a jumble of genetics intersects with humanity, there is fallout and mishaps and anger and sadness. Because if it can happen to God's Old Testament top 10, if it can happen to the best friend of Jesus, shoot, if it can happen to Jesus, then there's a good chance something just might happen to you and me. The worst thing any of us can do is think otherwise. But there's a sweet good side to the seemingly odd coin we've pocketed. Because in all of this intersecting, we also get tangled up in God's redemptive love, and if patient, just may find that good things can come out of bad moments. In fact, Scott Peck goes on to say, the truth is that our finest moments are most likely to occur when we are feeling deeply uncomfortable, unhappy, or unfulfilled. Yep, with God's help and inspiration, our seemingly worst moments can be redeemed. Or we can choose to stay in our ruts, shaking our fists at the sky, hiding in our hobbit holes, and lose joy, our sense of humor, and our sense of purpose. Yes, I said it. We can choose to stay in our ruts looking for other, or more often, God to blame. Now, let me be perfectly clear to acknowledge that clinical depression is real and often, if not always, needs outside intervention. But there is a choice there as well, to actively seek that intervention. Choice is most certainly up to us. And part of that choice is embracing the very present hope and inspiration of God's Spirit, looking up and out beyond self to know that the very Spirit that walked with Jesus, that provided Ezekiel's bizarre yet hopeful vision, that very Spirit that lifted the weakened limbs of Lazarus is there for you. Easily said, Pastor, but how do we get it done? Well, we keep on going. And when we feel like we can't keep going, especially alone, we accept the reality that we were never supposed to. God is with us in spirit, but not simply as some random breath, in the breath of inspiration, example, in the lives of those who surround us, in family and faith family, accepting that we are all in this together,
We are all trekking through this wilderness school of life together, as community filled with imperfections and perfections for which we will all gain a little and limp a little. No exceptions. As Peck reminds us, community requires the ability to expose our wounds and weaknesses to our fellow creatures. It also requires the ability to be affected by the wounds of others. But even more important is a love that arises among us when we share, both ways, our woundedness.
So, like Ezekiel, like Lazarus, like Mother Teresa and Mandela, like your grandmother during the Depression or your father during the Recession, you keep going. And when you fall, you get back up. And when you feel as if your bones are all dried up, no life left, you seek God's provision in another's caring breath and be called to rise up, just as you will offer the same to other, calling them to rise up. And the next thing you know, Ezekiel, Lazarus, and you will one day walk into a place. And boy, won't you have a story and maybe a good joke to tell.